Uncensored, unafraid, and unstoppable, June 21st, 2022. Welcome to the Stu Peters Show. My name is Stu. Well, we all remember the Hunter Biden laptop story from 2 years ago, despite the deep state and the deep media's best efforts to kill it. But even on the right, a lot of people forget that Hunter Biden wasn't the only messed up Biden child whose scandalous private life was covered up by the press. Joe Biden's daughter, Ashley, is a drug addict. Okay, fine. But during one of her stays in a halfway house, she kept a diary where she recorded her private thoughts. Ashley left that diary behind by mistake, which a woman ultimately found and eventually sold to Project Veritas. But in that diary, Ashley wrote about being a sex addict, a condition that she says might be related to taking inappropriate showers with her dad, Joe Biden, at a very young age. So she says explicitly that Joe Biden, the so-called president, molested her. She wrote it down. Ashley wrote that she was hypersexualized, even as a young girl. She also wrote about constant affairs and massive drug abuse and being totally broke thanks to her self-destructive lifestyle. So at this point, it's 100% confirmed, by the way, that Ashley's diary is real. In a sane society, our press would talk about this revelation. The current White House occupant isn't just a creepy shoulder stroker and hair sniffer. He's literally a child molester. And that should be discussed. But of course, in a sane society, we also would have thrown Hunter Biden in prison a long time ago, instead of having our elites pretend that he's a great businessman and artist. So no, we're not getting an investigation of Ashley Biden's childhood molestation. Instead, Chairman Biden has sicked the FBI on the woman who found Ashley's diary. Amy Harris has herself struggled with drug addiction. She found Ashley's diary because she herself was the next inhabitant of the halfway house. Right now, she has the FBI harassing her for selling that diary to Project Veritas. Let's just pause for a moment and think. Let's concede that even after being abandoned by Ashley Biden, the diary was still her property, and selling it was a form of theft. Okay, well, even if we concede that, how is that an FBI matter? How is this anything but petty theft for local police to worry about? You know the answer, of course. It's an FBI matter because this is about political retribution. It's about using the vast power of the federal government to target and take out people who have embarrassed Chairman Biden. And that's why the FBI will spend countless hours and millions of dollars, if necessary, investigating this case and try to send a recovering addict to prison for it, while totally ignoring Hunter Biden taking millions from Ukraine and China while partying with prostitutes and blow. Patrick Howley is a senior reporter with National File. He also, by the way, was the first reporter to break the story of Ashley Biden's diary. You know, back when everybody else was lying and calling it fake. Patrick Howley joins us now. So how is this diary not being used as evidence in a criminal trial against this pedophile rather than in a show trial for this addict?
Well, unfortunately, the Sleepy Joe regime is in power right now, Stu, as a result of Fox News and many other subversive quislings attacking me at the time when I published the contents of the diary on October 26th of 2020. I began publishing excerpts showing the childhood sex trauma on October 24th. Fox News had plenty of opportunity to run this. Fox News actively did not. They actively chose not to, to ignore it. And in fact, both sides came after me. Doesn't matter. Millions upon millions of people all over the country saw it. Of course, we would have liked to have Fox News talk about it in the last days of that election. But Fox News at the time was working for Danny O'Brien, Joe Biden's former chief of staff, who is the head of government relations at the Fox News parent company in Washington, D.C. Okay, so that's why you saw Sean Hannity urging Trump to concede the election in election overtime and actually trying to get a pardon for Hunter Biden. So I will tell you what I can do here, Stu, because I'm popping up in the press again. They have to take another round of shots at me, right? Because they have to cite me again because I broke the diary. So now they're saying like, oh, he's a crazy guy, and that's why we didn't take it seriously. Give me a break. Alex Jones did a whole emergency broadcast. Lynn Wood was out there sharing it. Millions upon millions of people were asking Fox News, why aren't you talking about this during the election? Okay. And I was right there and I saw Bill Stepien and Jared Kushner and those people not helping Sidney Powell, Rudy Giuliani, and Lynn Wood, and the people who were trying to win. Okay, so I was right there, and I saw Fox News punting this. We saw it with Arnon Mishkin on election night with Arizona calling it after a few votes, and then they all scrambled and got their paper ballots together. That's all been proven now. So this was a big steal, and John Solomon was specifically trying to shut down this Ashley Biden diary because, you know, trying to castigate it, saying, oh, it might be fake based on his sources in the FBI. Okay. Right. So I fought
super reliable.
I published that. I deserve a Pulitzer Prize. Really. I'll take Maggie Haberman's. If she wants to give hers back, I'll take hers. But here's what I can do right now. Jack Maxey says, and I have every reason to believe him because he's already been credible on this. And he has Rudy Giuliani's version of the original laptop. He has 80,000 images that have not been released yet. He's not working with Steve Bannon or Agent Jack Poso or any of those people, okay, at all. What he wants to do is he wants, if there are sheriffs in this country, email me, patrickreporter@protonmail.com, and then I will take this to Jack Maxey, okay? Jack Maxey was in Switzerland getting spied on by the Chinese communists, okay? There is blackmail going on. Joe Biden is being blackmailed. Do you understand this? That's why he's a puppet. Now, if we can get the information that Jack Maxey has off of the Hunter Biden laptop out to the public, then we, you know, then it's out there. Then how can you blackmail Sleepy Joe anymore right now? We can do this right now. So find a sheriff in the United States of America that for journalistic reasons will allow the criminality. Do you understand what I'm saying? The criminality that's on this material to be released in the journalistic interest, realizing that it's the Biden family that's committing these crimes. And we will learn about Hunter Biden's relationship with Beau's daughter, Natalie, okay, born in 2004. And we already know because a lot of this stuff's already come out. And of course, his relationship with Beau's widow and the underage sex acts that allegedly were being used by Hunter Biden to blackmail his father. That's the story. Hunter Biden was running a sex blackmail operation in his own family. He was uploading videos to pornographic sites. He told his father that he was uploading videos to pornographic sites. His father knew about his relationship with Natalie Biden, his niece, okay? And this was a blackmail operation on his father.
So are they really going to pursue criminal charges against this woman who sold this diary to Project Veritas?
I am not required to discuss journalistic process in any way for my own purposes. My purpose is to say that any kind of law enforcement investigation based on this about journalistic process is laughable. The law enforcement investigation needs to get Pedo Joe out of there. Go talk to Maria Piacezzi, the young teenage girl who as a child was molested by Joe Biden. She confirmed it. It's all on tape. He would go in and grab the girls when their fathers were being sworn in, when he was vice president, when they were being sworn into the Senate. Chris Coons looked the other way, right? Jeff Sessions actually shielded his granddaughters from him. This is an open secret. That's the story. And it's a national security threat because bad people know about it, including the Chinese Communist Party.
So out of 50 states in this country with hundreds of counties in each state, thousands of counties in this country, there has to be a constitutional sheriff that wants to take a look at this. Why hasn't anybody done it thus far?
Because if you're watching right now and you're a constitutional sheriff, contact Patrick Reporter at protonmail.com and Jack. I'm working with Jack Maxey. And so Jack Maxey has this information. I have the credibility. I have, you know, we're going to do this. We're going to make sure that there's a sheriff in this country that where we can get Jack into the county. Okay. We can do it here on the Stu Peters Show. We can get Jack into that county and we can get this information out there.
It's there. All of the evidence is there. What sheriff?
Correct.
What sheriff?
Switzerland.
You're not the DA. You're not compelled or required to establish, you know, a conviction. That's not on you. It's your job to collect the evidence and present it to a DA. And then that's another hurdle that we'll have to get over is what DA is going to charge this out. It's sad that we have to think about this.
He thought Switzerland was going to let him release it. We need a sheriff here in the United States of America. Contact me at patrickreporter@protonmail.com.
Let's get it done.
patrickreporter@protonmail.com.
patrickreporter@protonmail.com. Yes. patrickreporter@protonmail.com. If you are a constitutional sheriff and you care about the integrity of this country and you care about people openly molesting kids, then you'll contact him. patrickreporter@protonmail.com. Patrick Hawley, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate it. More of The Stu Peters Show continues in 60 seconds. Go nowhere.
The food supply is in peril. War has wiped out grain stores. Mysterious fires have consumed dozens of processing plants. And the Biden junta is paying farmers not to grow.
We could increase and disseminate more rapidly food shortages.
But there's hope from heaven. Heavensharvest.com.
That stuff is perfect. It's 25-year shelf life. You can buy it, stick it in your closet, and forget about it.
Christian-owned, kingdom-operated, is ready to help your family prepare for famine, pestilence, and another pandemic. Join Heaven's Harvest Food Club today and enjoy the benefits of a stockpile and peace of mind. No cost. Free shipping. Cancel anytime. Preparation on demand. Water filters, seeds, and vacuum-sealed buckets of grub. Call today for 1 month's supply of food for less than the cost of a daily meal. Or fill your stores for a whole year with food that lasts. Don't wait. Prepare for the devil's worst. HeavensHarvest.com, your angel investor for enduring the end times.
All right, family, so let's keep it real. As compared to other greasy slimeball celebrity show hosts, I share a lot of my personal life with you. Your Stu crew, your family, I love you. You're part of the Stu Peters Show tribe. I want you to be a part of my personal life. If you could be here every day, I'd love to have you. Plus, I'm unafraid and don't care. So yesterday at the end of the program, I shared a great Father's Day weekend with you, some photos and videos, myself with my two sons, Nolan and Eli, my daughter Reagan at a baseball tournament on the St. Croix River, Kinnikinnick State Park, pontooning. It was great. So something else that I want to share about my personal life is this, because when I find something that works for me, I want you to hear about it. These products from Newtopia that I've been telling you about are unbelievable. These brain supplements really do put you in a state of focus and clarity like never before. No more coffee, no more caffeine, no more snooze button, no more alarm clock for your brain, no more waiting period. It's an instant on switch for my brain every single day. Putting things in focus, added clarity, added aggression if you need it. You can replace alcohol with these products, which is great. Be in a zen state of meditation in the evening time. It has a lot of the same effects, but these are totally safe, non-addictive, 100% legal, and they're for everybody. Go check out the products, newtopia.com/Stu Peters. I'm going to spell it for you, N-O-O-T-O-P-I-A. Newtopia, N-O-O-T-O-P-I-A. newtopia.com/Stu Peters. The brain products for you. No more coffee required, no more caffeine required, no more waiting for your brain to be alive. Nobody can dupe you. Don't let anybody pull the wool over your eyes, because if you are truly Stu Crew, you have to have a strong brain. Find the brain supplements that work for you. Go to newtopia.com/Stu Peters. Again, newtopia.com/Stu Peters. 20 years ago, the Republican Party presented itself as the party of traditional marriage. Fast forward to today, and now many of the same leading figures are still in power. I don't even know how that's a thing in America. What a joke. But these people have completely surrendered on gay marriage. Oh, and for good measure, it's also the party of Bruce Jenner wearing a dress. Awesome. We have sitting U.S. congressmen who voted to let male perverts into girls' locker rooms. The GOP always poses as the party of gun rights. But a bunch of the same sitting congressmen and candidates who are presented to us can't wait for the first chance to betray that right. Fox News has Dan Crenshaw all the time. We're supposed to like him because he has an eye patch, I guess, which is supposed to prove that he's tough and fought for our freedoms or whatever. But whatever he did do in the past, now Congressman Crenshaw can't wait to find a way to surrender. Last summer, he sat around passively and voted to advance a bill that would have enabled a nationwide red flag law. That's a law that allows anybody to tell the government that you're dangerous or scary or whatever, and empower the cops to come and take your guns from you. No crime committed, no criminal charges filed, no due process, give me your guns or go to jail. Now Crenshaw tries to claim that that never happened. Don't be fooled. Rhinos always claim that they will never do what they badly want to do. So why does this keep happening? Well, there's a simple scientific principle called Occam's razor, named after medieval English priest William of Occam. The principle is basically, in general, if you have a lot of possible explanations for something, the simplest explanation is probably the best one. So what's the simplest explanation for why the elected GOP keeps failing its voters? It's probably this one. It's because of their donors. Go look at the top donors to Kevin McCarthy, for example. A lot of them are literally simultaneously donating to the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee. They're donating to the pederasts over at the Lincoln Project. Seriously. They're businesses that want never-ending open borders and don't want anybody fighting culture war issues like letting drag queen pedophiles into our schools and classrooms. So why should we be surprised that Kevin McCarthy is never going to deliver for us? Here's one of the funny little secrets about politics, actually. Money really doesn't matter that much. Sure, politicians and their consultants want it because they can divert it to enrich themselves. But for actually winning elections, you don't really need that much money at all. So if we could start shaming our political leaders out of accepting donations from woke capital and the like, we'd still be able to win elections and we'd be able to elect better Republicans. Let Kevin McCarthy go be a Democrat if it matters so much for him. Teddy Daniels is the host of In the Trenches with Teddy Daniels, and he's here to tell us if I'm right or not. Teddy, thank you for coming. We appreciate it.
Stu, you're 100% right, brother. And I actually did a deep dive into the 10 senators and the 5 congressmen who went along with this red flag gun crap. And then I took a look at Kevin McCarthy's donors. A lot of these people are funded by organizations who primarily fund Democrats. Out of Kevin McCarthy's top 20 largest donors, 5 of them primarily donate to Democrats by like 60% or more. 4 of them donate to the Lincoln Project. There are donors in there that donate tens of thousands of dollars to AOC, Chuck Schumer, the DCCC, the DSCC. You name it, you got it. And the gun control crap that these people are trying to push, several of these senators have taken millions of dollars from the NRA. And the NRA puts their stamp of approval on them saying that they're pro-gun. They're not pro-gun. They're pro-power. They're pro, I want to be liked by everybody in D.C. and screw the American people. That's what we got going on.
Is it a uniparty?
It's 100% a uniparty. You look at true, hardcore, America first type people, you have the uniparty, the establishment GOP, trying to put their foot on their neck because they don't want those people because they're all pigs eating from the same trough.
So if it's a uniparty, isn't that the equivalent of totalitarianism?
It's totalitarianism. It's authoritarianism. It is all of it. You know, George Carlin had it right, Stu, when he said it's a big club and you ain't in it. Politicians are put there to give the illusion that the people have some say. It's corporations and special interest groups that run this country.
Yeah, so I've oftentimes said this is like a pro wrestling match, that these people treat America and our process here as if it's a pro wrestling match. They already know the predetermined outcome, and everything between the beginning of the match and the end of the match is just theater. It's all fake. Do you agree?
Well, and you know, Stu, I'm going to go a step further. It's like when Hulk Hogan and Randy Savage are in the ring beating the snot out of each other. They have their fans out in the parking lot fighting each other. And then these two are backstage afterwards having a beer together. So they get the American people all riled up thinking, hey, this person's really on my side. But you're right. It's fake. It's like pro wrestling.
So they have these key social issues, right? Because culture issues really matter to the American people. When you do studies on this and look at it, they care a whole lot more about tranny freak shows in their kids' classroom, rightfully, than they do about $40 billion of their dollars going to Ukraine, right? Hush money. Bioweapons labs funding is what the taxpayers are paying for. Operated by the Pentagon, overseen by the CIA, creating weapons of mass destruction to be deployed against us and our kids. But see, the media, the press skips right over all of that, and they want to highlight Bruce Jenner. So Americans are pissed off, rightfully, about tranny freak shows in their kids' classrooms, and seemingly there's nothing that they can do about it. And so to polarize that, there are talking points that are literally assigned to these fake pro wrestlers called congressmen or senators that then go and run to the press that's paid for by Soros and BlackRock and Vanguard and Klaus Schwab and the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers. And then they platform these people that are talking about this stuff to rile up their base. Then their base funds them with donations. Oh, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is really going to fight climate. And she's really going to fight racism and environmentalism And so, and environmental racism. So I have to give to her. So she develops this huge war chest, giving her all of the power. Meanwhile, Marjorie Taylor Greene is going to rile up the base about an illegitimate president, a pedophile called Joe Biden in the White House. And she's going to talk about impeachment, which isn't feasible because she'll never get the votes. And even if she did, the Senate would never move to convict and remove the guy. So she knows that it's a waste of time and a complete subversion of the democratic process in this country, but she still uses it to rile up her base and attract funding. So at what point does America just say, I'm not giving you another dime? It doesn't take money to win elections. It doesn't take money. The government is not a for-profit business, Teddy.
No, it's not. No, it's not. But they're acting like they are. And I'll tell you this. It's all theater. It's all acting. They should take the Oscars and the Emmys out of L.A. and just move them to D.C. That's what they need to do, because you nailed it on the head. They get their predetermined talking points from their special interest groups, their donors, and the two mafia criminal organizations, the RNC and the DNC, to go out there and stir trouble in this country, knowing nothing can be done.
Candidates do it too. And the people who endorse these candidates do it too. The people that are endorsing these candidates tell them, these are your talking points, go say this crap, and I will endorse you. So they're controlled before they ever even get to the soul-sucking capital of the United States, Washington, D.C., which, by the way, is a breeding ground sent directly from Satan himself for depravity and corruption and crime and filth and racketeering and embezzlement and bribery and blackmail and backroom deals and homosexuality and blow parties with strippers and whores. I mean, this is disgusting. It really is a disgusting mess of a joke. And candidates that we're voting for, does it really even matter at this point? I mean, I don't want to be a black pillar all the time. And I wouldn't be here fighting every day if I didn't think that we could win this thing. But if they're just going to steal and steal and steal, what is the actual fix? Everybody wants to know, when is something going to happen? What can they do to fix it? Can you vote your way out? Can you comply your way out? What can people do?
Well, brother, you know what they say about communism and socialism. You can vote your way into it, but you got to shoot your way out of it. And unfortunately, I hate to say it, brother, that's where we're getting in this country right now. And you mentioned Marjorie Taylor Greene, how she's, you know, pro-freedom caucus, and she's an outsider, and the Republican Party hates her. You know she still maxes out her dues to the NRCC. She still pays them.
$174,000 check. Yeah. I'm going to destroy the establishment. That's a really good point. I'm going to destroy the establishment. I'm going to tear down the globalists. I'm going to fight the deep state. So she takes $174,000 off the back of the blue-collar, hardworking, lunch pail-carrying, truck-driving, bus-driving, middle-class American, the backbone of the economy, the backbone of our country, white Christians that work hard. And she takes that money and then writes a $174,000 check to the McCarthy-controlled NRCC, the very machine that these people who don't have extra money laying around to give dug into their couch cushions or their savings or wherever they have this little bit of money stashed away and gave it to her. You know why? Because to them, it's worth it to fight the very machine that is after their kids and after their rights and their freedom and shredding the Constitution and coming for their guns and indoctrinating and stealing and raping and grooming and trafficking their kids and injecting everybody with needles. It's worth it to them. And then she turns around and takes their money and funds the very machine that she raised the money in the name of tearing down. It should be criminal.
Exactly.
It should be criminal.
Exactly.
And I don't know. I mean, you said that, you know, you have to shoot your way out of communism. But listen, there has to be a natural progression. And I believe that we have not exhausted all of our options politically. But it seems like we're running out of political solutions. So I just want to say and put it on the record here, I'm not advocating for anybody going out and shooting anybody. I think that that's a terrible idea.
Well, hey, because this is my brother.
But this is exactly, but Teddy, this is exactly what they want. And they're setting up a scenario so that they can deploy the remaining purged, you know, military. The remainder of the military is going to be what? Woke, purple-haired, Antifa crackpots that are willing to shoot on Americans. They're all injected. They're all obedient. They're all order takers. And they will come and shoot on you. And then they can deploy the UN or the National Guard in your state to come and take your guns because pockets of violence are going to start popping up everywhere as we have a war on terrorism, right? That's what we've been told. A war with Russia, that's baked in. The military-industrial complex has to have it. Pfizer butt slut, fossil Lindsey Graham. I don't know if he's gay or not, but it sure seems like it. He's got to have that. You've got the war on disinformation, right? I'm a huge target of that, waiting for the drone strike at my studio every day. You've got the war on pandemics. We have all these wars going on. At what point does Congress just step in, this uniparty, these totalitarianists? What time is it when they step in and just say, you know what, elections are just a distraction. We have multiple wars going on here. We're going to just do away with this process altogether. I've got about a minute left. Final words.
Yeah, brother, they've tried to do it. They've tried to do it with H.R. 1, the Corrupt Politicians Act. They've tried to do it. They've tried to hold on to power. Okay? These people don't care about us. They care about themselves. They sold the American people down the river to enrich themselves so they could have a seat at the table in D.C. And that's where we are, buddy.
Find Teddy Daniels on Rumble. Look for In the Trenches. Great podcast. Great show that you're doing. You know, you've been a target of these people, so you completely understand it. You're the regular, everyday American patriot who fought for our country, got shot up in some crap hole third world country over a calamity that we should have never been involved in. You know exactly what it is that you're battling, and you do it every day. Thank you for continuing to battle, despite the fact that they stole this whole thing from you. Teddy Daniels, God bless you. Thank you for being here.
Stu, love you, brother. Thank you.
Yeah, anytime, Teddy. And congrats on the new show, brother. It's awesome. So we have a lot of discussions on this show that involve bad news. How this uniparty that we just talked about wants to come after your kids and steal them, molest them, groom them, rape them, send them off into trafficking, steal your liberty, shred the Constitution, steal your freedom, send your money to Ukraine for hush money, bioweapons labs funding, all of that stuff. But we have good news. The good news is GoldCo. GoldCo can protect your retirement savings with gold and silver. Call my good friends at GoldCo, 855-706-GOLD. Again, the number is 855-706-GOLD. When you call, you'll get up to $10,000 or more in free silver with a qualified account. GoldCo has already helped thousands of people to protect their retirement savings. Look, you work hard to earn your money and even harder to save it for your future, for your retirement, for your kids' future, for their education, whatever it is, retirement home. Don't let it be stolen because they're going to come for it. I'm telling you, they're going to come for it, but they can't come for your gold. Physical gold and silver. Call GoldCo right now. Get up to $10,000 or more in free silver with a qualified account. Call them today, 855-706-GOLD. Again, 855-706-GOLD.
Hey, so welcome to the Stu Peters Show. I'm Lauren Witzke, executive producer and president of the Stu Peters Network. As many of you know, we do have a documentary coming out soon called These Little Ones, basically going in depth of the CPS child trafficking adrenochrome scandals that we hear about everywhere. Now listen, there's this guy. His name is Sean Stone. He's a documentarian, filmmaker, but overall truth seeker. Now, he has already gone into detail. He has done the work for us. He has launched a docuseries called The Best Kept Secret. We're going to play a little bit of that trailer, and I have a real treat for you guys because Sean Stone is joining us today. And not only does he go into the Jeffrey Epstein child trafficking rings, he really exposes the politicians and everybody involved, but he also exposes the media, the propaganda, the real effort that was put forward in these occult practices to normalize pedophilia. It's all satanic. It's all a form of witchcraft and Satanism, but they deceived you. They put it in the media in such a way where people didn't even care when Ghislaine Maxwell, a global pedophile ringleader, was put on trial and nobody cared. She didn't have to name names. She didn't have to do anything. And it seems that nobody cared. And I think that was the most concerning thing. Well, it's all conditioning and it's all been planned. Check out this docuseries, The Best Kept Secret.
You have all the money in the world you need. You have all the power you need. What's the point? You know, what's the end goal? They said the end goal is to control the world.
These people out here who believe in this worldwide Satanist conspiracy, okay?
Ye fools and priests, I spit upon your fire.
I became a pawn in a government scheme. His ultimate goal was mind control and to create the perfect spot.
Other governments, but rarely, if ever, our own.
But you were staying at the house of
yes.
a convicted sex offender.
It was a convenient place to stay.
We've allowed this to happen because we didn't know that there was another reality we could experience.
Now, I'd like to welcome the producer, director, and I guess inventor of the docuseries Best Kept Secret, Sean Stone. Thank you so much for joining us today. This looks like it's going to be awesome. You know, I wanted to specifically talk about something that piqued my interest. Now, you had talked about how it was the Monarch program, the MK Ultra, the conditioning that the population has gone through to prepare us basically for this becoming normalized.
Yes, I mean, that's one way of one word of explaining it, normalization. You know, this is a long process of basically getting to a place where, I mean, you point to one of the music festivals last year, and WAP, I remember, was being performed, right? Which is slang for wet ass. I mean, that's what it is. And literally that was being performed on this major media channel, right? For, you know, presumably kids, you know, a lot of kids. I remember as a teenager watching the award shows, right? This was basically one of the songs of the year, if not the song of the year in 2020. The normalization, you have to realize how many decades it took to normalize that, to make it okay for parents to accept that their kids were listening to this. I mean, and it, you know, it's, you could say like it starts, you know, it's with the Marilyn Monroe, and you're talking about the MK Ultra. I mean, was Marilyn Monroe herself mind controlled? I mean, she certainly understood that she essentially was a prostitute within a Hollywood structure that used her body and the sexualization of her. You know, in general, Hollywood has been designed to sort of normalize the sexualization, objectification, I should say, and the sexualization of women. But then it became gradually younger to the general public. I mean, the pedophilia was always there. Yes, I mean, this is ancient. Go back to the Romans and how, and the Greeks, obviously, that was a practice. But the Roman emperors, you know, on their islands in the Capri, you know, basically having their orgies with young pages and sometimes ritually sacrificing them. But, you know, this is ancient practices that essentially have been brought into the modern world oftentimes through film, through media, through music videos. I mean, I remember Britney Spears' Hit Me Baby One More Time, subliminal messaging, dressing like a high school girl. You know, it's like, yeah, if you're a high school boy like I was, great. I mean, if you're, you know, but then you start to realize, well, you're sexualizing youth, and you're actually starting to then create the generation that we have now of these young girls that are literally prostituting themselves, for lack of a better word, on the social media platforms, expected to show more and more, you know, on their pages, be it through on Instagram or OnlyFans or whatever the platform may be, at increasingly younger ages, and this fetish of young women. So essentially, yes, normalization has occurred through time, through a process. And, you know, to really locate it, it's a difficult thing to like locate, because again, I mentioned this is an ancient, if you think about it, it's an ancient practice. It's an ancient worldview that, as I mentioned, the Roman emperors, you know, with their young, you know, page boys or whatnot, it was always sort of the ability of the elite to get away with these kind of things, and to, you know, whether it was Elizabeth Bathory, who was part of the elite, you know, oligarchs, that she basically was bathing in the blood of young girls, or Bluebeard, you know, another noble who was caught murdering children. I mean, these stories are not just myths, these are real stories. And so this is a part of our history, and the problem is it never went away.
Right. So actually last night, so I was watching a movie from the 90s, the early 90s, and you compare it to now, and it's blatantly in your face. Disney now is openly pushing sexual content on children, LGBTQ content. They're normalizing it. But I feel like in the last few years, it has been accelerated. Do you feel that same way? Or do you think it was just always a slow fade? But I just feel like recently, it's just accelerated. And it's yeah, radical, too. And I'm not sure that the population was ready for it. But they had obviously been preparing for years and transitioning slowly to this point. But I feel like in the last couple of years, it was all in. They didn't care at all. They're just going to put it out there. They're going to publish songs like WAP. They're going to put this on the television, on Disney Plus, for little children to see. Why do you think they're doing this? Why do you think there is all of a sudden a sudden push to, like, a blatant unapologetic? You know, they got really bold before they at least tried to hide it. Why are they so bold?
Yeah. Well, it's the same. It's, you know, it's a process. It's like a vulgarization of everything from music to culture. I mean, you watch films of the old, you know, let's say the olden days of the 40s, the 50s, the 60s, you know, the classics. And the way that sex was dealt with in those films was obviously it was before nudity. And it was always done in a very subliminal way. It was done in a more tongue-in-cheek way, right? You know, even, I mean, there were morality, you know, there were morality protocols. You couldn't even have like a husband and wife sleeping in the same bed, for example, right? On TV shows, they had to be in separate beds. And then they would have like a shot of, you know, in movies that have a shot of like the shoes would indicate that the two had sex, basically, right? I mean, there were things that were done that was more subliminal. And gradually, as we know, I mean, the count between the generation of the 60s and the boomer generation and the counterculture, we understand that sexuality became increasingly overt, nudity and all these things became increasingly overt. And it was just, to my mind, it's like, it's just, there's no way of putting the, you know, as they say, like putting the toothpaste back in the bottle. Like, it's just like, it becomes more and more overt. So at what point do you say enough is enough? If you're going to make things so explicit, such that you have these films that by the 2000s were coming out, basically, you know, torture porn, essentially, like this, there was an aesthetic and a psychology that was increasingly nihilistic, that was increasingly devaluing of human life. I mean, yeah. You had the Saws and the Hostels and the films like this, where it was like, understanding that, you know, we're basically playing to the most base part of human nature. And we talk about this a little bit in one of my documentaries I did called Hollywood DC, and how it was understood through psychological warfare and operations. I mean, people like Hitchcock, who essentially was trained to understand how, you know, how to terrorize a population with a movie like Psycho, for example, and other works that he was doing, which was all based really on the subliminal subconscious mind, right? The power of imagery, the power of terrorizing people, putting people into increasingly shocked states. And then, well, how do you, you know, once they're shocked, well, then you have to go to the next level and the next level and the next level. And I think that's what has happened, is that they basically have gotten to this point where things have gotten so explicit, both in the virtual, you know, both in the virtual world of media, right, and the portrayal of mass shootings or terrorism, or right, and the horrors of life, and how they want you to fixate on how negative and dark things are, right, but then simultaneously in the fictional side of Netflix, you know, and yeah. Sabrina the Teenage Witch, you know, being involved in witchcraft and ritual sacrifice and all these kind of things, that really, it's like they want you to desensitize, I believe. It's a fundamental psychological war to desensitize the population to not even realize what you're looking at. And also it happened in award ceremonies. I mean, you'd literally be watching these rituals taking place. And we talk a little bit in the docuseries about the Bohemian Grove, where it literally was a decent, you know, it's what some psychologists have explained, like when you're watching a mock human sacrifice, is which takes place at the cremation of care, where they have a mock child burned alive. It's not a real child, presumably it's a fake child, but it's burned alive. I mean, to the mind, you're essentially watching a traumatic experience and then reveling in it. But, you know, but our minds are so powerful. What is the difference between, you know, reality and dream? I mean, we can say, oh, well, it's not real. Well, guess what? If you wake up from a nightmare, your heart's pounding, the visions in your mind are running, you're having fantasies or thoughts or fears. So they understand this very well, the power of the human mind. And that's why the war is so important from their perspective on influencing the media, the movies, the television content, to really desensitize the human being to the value of a single human life.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, in your documentary, in your docuseries per se, you had explicitly called out occultism. Now, do you believe that, you know, we talk about the media, the politicians, everybody being in on it. Do you think it is an occult? Like, we see the rituals, we see what they have to do in order to, you know, achieve fame or a certain seat in the House or whatever. Do you believe that this is all linked to the occult? Did you, and what other findings? I know what investigations go into putting together a documentary. I know you have poured through hours and hours of research. Now, what did you find as far as connecting it to the occult explicitly?
Sure. I mean, it's, you know, this is a life journey for me. My first film was called Greystone Park. It was about my ventures into these haunted, abandoned mental hospitals and very dark places where we saw indications, you know, occult graffiti, if you want to call it, markings of occultism where, you know, Satanists, so-called Satanists, I don't know exactly, you know, again, with occultism, it's like it's hidden knowledge, right? So it's difficult to know like which cell you're talking about, you know, just like, you know, masonry is, you know, can be broken up into cell structures the same way terrorism or anything, you know, CIA, everything is compartmentalized. Same with occultism. I mean, you can be part of a lodge that practices, you know, white magic or whatnot, but, you know, the next lodge over can be practicing the complete inversion of it, you know, black magic. It's very difficult to know, you know, to say, but overall you're looking at a pattern when it comes to our systems of control that I would argue tend towards dark occultism, essentially using the hidden knowledge, the mystery traditions, the insights that they glean, oftentimes using it for manipulation of people, which is fundamentally what black magic is about. You know, white magic is about healing. It's natural, you know, it's using, it's medicine, it's natural, you know, it's natural science. It's things that are basically used to benefit mankind. I mean, the Christ in the Bible is a white magician, if you want to say. I mean, essentially what he does is essentially what we call white magic, you know, it's healing. But what the dark magicians do is they do it for manipulation, for power, for ego. You see, and that's essentially the difference between, I would say, the two paths. It's like what Aleister Crowley, one of the godfathers of these people, if you really, you know, if you think of like the power of a Crowley, that they put him on the Beatles album, that right. Many, many people throughout the years have venerated him as the sort of this godfather of black magic. I mean, what he's saying is not what Christ says, which is thy will be done. The Father in heaven, God's will, Crowley's saying, my will, that's ego, that's black magic. And that's where a lot of these people in power are operating from, is that black magic of ego.
Right, well, I mean, it's in the Satanic Bible. I think it's like the first line, do what thy own wilt. That is like their main thing. It's a service of yourself. You are your own God. You know, and I think that's kind of what Satan kind of told, the lie he sold Adam and Eve, you know, like you can be, you can have all this knowledge, you can essentially be your own God. Like we live, apparently, like they tried to convince him that, you know, we live under a God that doesn't want you to live your life, to make your own choices, you know, and that was the great lie and the deception behind it. Now, listen. Your docuseries has already dropped. Where can people go and check it out? Guys, I recommend you go and check it out. We do have these little ones coming out in July, and I think this would be a great precursor for people to get prepared and mentally ready for what's coming next. Now, where can they check out your docuseries?
Yeah, absolutely. Like you said, this is a total red pill or purple pill experience, you know, because it really does go through very famous scandals, you know, political corruption, pedophilia, political compromise, mind control, the transhuman agenda, occultism. We get into all these factors. So Best Kept Secret is on Vimeo On Demand. It's probably the easiest place to find it, through my website, seanstone.info. If people are subscribed to iconic.com, which is David Icke's website, it's also playing there.
Awesome. Sean Stone, thank you so much. So you can go to seanstone.info to check out his docuseries. And thank you so much. And we look forward to seeing more of your work.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
The food supply is in peril. War has wiped out grain stores. Mysterious fires have consumed dozens of processing plants. And the Biden junta is paying farmers not to grow.
We could increase and disseminate more rapidly food shortages.
But there's hope from heaven. Heavensharvest.com.
That stuff is perfect. It's 25-year shelf life. You can buy it, stick it in your closet, and forget about it.
Christian-owned, kingdom-operated, is ready to help your family prepare for famine, pestilence, and another pandemic. Join Heaven's Harvest Food Club today and enjoy the benefits of a stockpile and peace of mind. No cost, free shipping, cancel anytime, preparation on demand, water filters, seeds, and vacuum-sealed buckets of grub. Call today for 1 month's supply of food for less than the cost of a daily meal, or fill your stores for a whole year with food that lasts. Don't wait. Prepare for the devil's worst. HeavensHarvest.com, your angel investor for enduring the end times.
50 years ago, Australia was one of the freest countries in the world. 30 years ago, They were propagandized into abandoning their guns because of a mass shooting. And now, sure enough, they are hurtling toward becoming a China-style surveillance state. COVID-19 accelerated the government's push for total control dramatically. This is the country where cops order people to download special phone apps. It would force them to upload photos proving they were really where they said they were. They'd have troops in tactical gear carrying rifles to harass people on empty benches. They'd stop people in the streets and check if their coffee cups really had coffee in them, or if people were just carrying them to get a break from this tyranny. Now, COVID is fading away, but the Australian authorities want to make sure the country is never free again. In the state of Victoria, where the city of Melbourne is, officials are demanding that the government take action against Telegram, you know, the messaging app where you see messages from the Stu Peters Show, for example. And of course, other encrypted apps are in the sites right now. They're doing this in order to crack down on so-called far-right extremism. Now, the true extremism, this isn't complicated, is the Australian government's tyranny. Australia's leaders are just like our own. They're frauds, they're incompetent, they're criminals, and their entire ideology is built on lies. This kind of regime cannot survive in the light of day. It can only prop itself up by shutting down free speech and censoring or arresting anyone who would speak against them. Maria Zee is our Australian correspondent. She joins us now. Welcome to the Stu Peters Show, Maria.
Thank you for having me again, Edward. It's good to be here. I wish I didn't have to report these things about my country, but if I was to say that we didn't see these things coming, I'd be lying. And I'm glad that you spoke about what Australians have been through over the past 2 years, the example of police checking your coffee cup. Many of us have forgotten just what they put us through, and many Australians think that things are somewhat normal because some of the mandates have disappeared and we don't see police tackling pregnant women to the ground anymore. Yes, that happened too.
Well, Maria, tyranny's never been my cup of tea. You know, I'm looking at what's happening in your country, and honestly, we already don't have many ways to communicate with our brothers and sisters in freedom around the world. One of them has been Telegram, right? Telegram has brought many people like us together, and it's been a great source of, I'd say, information sharing, truth sharing. Now, you were saying that Australia is about to ban Telegram, or at least limit it for people like us?
Oh, they're wanting to ban it altogether. So they're calling this extremism, and they've actually gone to, they've said that far-right extremists had been initially sharing hateful content on mainstream sites such as Facebook and Twitter, but were increasingly being deplatformed. So they're moving to places like Telegram to share things with their audiences. Now, I can't imagine that my channel, for example, of 50,000 subscribers would have, more than that now, would have happened through hateful content. I haven't been deplatformed, Edward, because of hateful content. I'm onto my third Instagram account, my second Twitter. I've been banned on LinkedIn, banned on Facebook multiple times. This hasn't been for hateful content. It's been for the truth. It's been to try and save lives. God forbid you try and save a life in Australia, you're now labeled an extremist.
Well, certainly. Maria, look, I have a hard time keeping up with your Instagram accounts because so many have gotten axed. I mean, when I first saw your content, I think I saw on the second Instagram account. Listen, censorship, right? The tyrants censor us because we're effective. That's the truth, right? And in your country, I would say you're among the frontline Praetorian Guard for humanity because you've called out this ridiculous panopticon of destruction, which is the destruction of our rights, our freedoms. And in your country, you're kind of a little further down the road than us, but not really that far down. When I read about this discussion about Telegram, I know here they're saying that there are the worst, the dirty dozen, the deplorables, as Hillary Clinton called them in 2016, on Telegram, okay? But your country is actually speaking about removing people like us. And we know this, right? Because there was a whistleblower from Australian intelligence. Can you tell me about this?
This is an incredibly alarming report that I've reviewed, Edward. Basically, a former Australian intelligence employee has come forward and said that freedom activists are at a risk of being targeted by the Australian government. Now, the types of targeting exactly are not specified in this report, but he goes so far as to say that freedom activists should leave the country. Now, there are a couple of options here, Edward. This could be a genuine report that is worried for Australian freedom activists. We know that many of them have been arrested over the past couple of years. It seems to be something that is increasing. The government's, there are multiple that I know that are either facing jail or are about to face jail. It's also possible that this was released in order to scare us, to get us to stop speaking. I want to say very clearly, I want to say very clearly here, Edward, that we're not afraid. We're not doing anything wrong here. We are people that are fighting for the freedom of our country and the freedom of humanity, all of humanity. And articles like this and information like this are not going to silence us.
Well, thank God. All right, I would expect nothing less, actually. And the courage that you and other Australians show by continuing to fight this beast system that's forming around the world out of COVID, monkeypox, whatever ridiculous virus or bioweapon the government throws at us. Look, the subject of you having to leave the country, I mean, look, I can't imagine what I would say or do waking up today. I'm going to tell my family I'm going to have to leave because of things that I can't forget. I can't not stand for. I mean, what you're suggesting, Maria, again, this is kind of transcending this whole world order. A lot of people try to say that we're like an ally, especially with the five-eyed countries like yours. Honestly, we were talking about you having to potentially leave, or others like you who've taken a stand for freedom and truth. You're having to become like political asylums. I mean, we would gladly host you here, but the fact of the matter that they're talking about kicking you out of the country for an opinion, or actually rather for facts that they do not like. Again, your reporting on COVID tyranny has been top notch, and I think you've been effective against them. But this notion the government is thinking about doing this, I think you're onto something with this fear thing. It could be a false flag, right? It could be something. But what are you hearing from other activists? How have others responded to it? Because you've clearly not been shaken by it. You're here on the Stu Peters Show a day after finding out that you might be removed from the country you love.
This isn't so much about removal, Edward. The warning comes to freedom activists to protect themselves to leave. This is the tone of this whistleblower's message, that in order to escape what sort of targeting the government, again, he doesn't specify the targeting, but in order to escape what targeting the government has planned for these people, they should leave the country sooner rather than later. So we're not necessarily talking about the government removing people. We're talking about people preemptively leaving before the government does something much worse. Now, as I said, none of us are afraid, Edward. We are not going to stop fighting for the rights of people. We're not going to stop fighting for children. I fear no man. I only fear God. But as I said, it is the first time out of our country that we've had something like this. We've heard reports in the past that the government is going to start cracking down. We weren't sure how. And to be told that we need to leave the country before it's too late is definitely an escalation.
Well, I know that your heart goes out to others who've been persecuted in this manner around the world. And I mean, for me, I think back to how the government in Australia has already kind of looked the other way on, which is what happened to Julian Assange. I mean, Julian Assange was persecuted, again, for publishing documents about corruption in America and publishing documents about the CIA. But I bring him up because everyone was saying that it was hyperbolic to say what was happening to people like Julian Assange years ago would ever come home to us. And what you're noting about the surveillance leading to a position where we'd want to leave, I'm starting to wonder if Australia, this might have been a little bit of a leak to show us that maybe the Australian government is forming their own form of a social credit score. You know, it's not something out of Black Mirror. I mean, the Chinese have something like this. I'm sure we have something like this in America. Talk about banning people out of hotels. Do you think this could be proof of a social credit score in Australia?
There's definitely a social credit score being built here, Edward. We've now got facial recognition technology similar to what they have in China that they're using for what they call controlling crime and, you know, security all over Australia. That's being introduced. But we've also just had a point system that's been introduced for welfare recipients. So many people who lost their jobs during this insanity and still aren't able to work because you can't without an injection are relying on welfare. Now, they've just spoken about a points system. where you have to do certain activities to get a number of points to make sure that you get paid. This is on the road to a UBI.
You know, the universal basic income, this concept is clearly utopian in mindset. I'm sure our globalists here, they're frothing at the mouth the opportunity to try to field test this across the world. Your country, what's supposed to be a Western ally, is acting more like the communist Chinese than a member of the West, the member of free world. And Maria, again, I was being serious. If you do need to flee, we gladly bring you to Florida. We can be your, I guess, sponsors in political asylum. I know you're not going to leave because you're a fighter. You're a fighter, and we'll be praying for you. You've got courage. You got the courage of a lion. I tell you, every single day, I watch the Maria Z show Uncensored. I watch it every week. You do a great job. But if you want to watch this, by the way, guys, you go to Red Voice Media Premium. Maria Z airs every Wednesday, the public segment, and then her show is behind a paywall. But it's a great show, Maria, and I just want to encourage you. You already know this. You're not going to crumble, and we're praying for you so that you can stand against these tyrants.
Thank you, Edward. Certainly, I thank you for your invitation. I appreciate it, but I'm not budging. I'm here to fight for my country and fight for all of the people in this country that have endured so much, and I'm sure will continue to endure so much because this isn't over, but God is on our side.
Amen. Fighters around the globe, our brothers and sisters. Thank you so much, Maria. Take care.
God bless you.
If you're in Australia right now, you're probably not sleeping too well. I know I wouldn't be. According to what Mrs. Z just shared with the Stu Peters Show, people like me are going to get rounded up by the government, and then we're not going to be able to tell anybody about it on Telegram because they've barred us and ostracized us from society. But I'll tell you this, I don't fear man, and I don't fear tyrants, especially don't fear the loser devil. I do rest on Christ, and I also rest on the supplements that I take for my sleep. One of them is magnesium. magbreakthrough.com/Stu Peters. magbreakthrough.com/Stu Peters. Go there today. Get a bio-optimizer. It's going to help with your sleep. It's going to help with your anxiety. Everything else left after you've given it to Christ. magbreakthrough.com/Stu Peters.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you enjoyed the show. Please be in prayer for Stu Peters as he returns full-time to the Stu Peters Show tomorrow.
And one day they're going to come for the car.
And when they do,
save the radio!